Our friends, we come to this 31st chapter of Ezekiel. We're still talking about Egypt. This is the section in which we have the judgment of the nations. And we began in chapter 29 with Egypt, and 31 and 32 that we'll look at today deal with Egypt also. And four chapters given here, as well as we've seen in Isaiah, and then again in Jeremiah, and the minor prophets will have it. You see, Egypt figured large in the history of the nation of Israel. And it's rather ironical that today they are the real thorn in the flesh. They are the dog in the manger, as it was. You know, they wouldn't have the baby in the manger, so they got a dog in the manger today, and it's still Egypt. And I should say that God said he'd make Egypt a base nation. And these four chapters reveal, though, something of the greatness of this nation. And here in this 31st chapter, we see the fall of Pharaoh, and it's described in a parable. And, of course, it's not only a parable, but it represents the people of Egypt also. And the land of Egypt was to be judged, both Pharaoh and his subjects. And then you have here a funeral dirge over Pharaoh. And the vision I gave last time was this. You have the greatness and the glory of Pharaoh in Egypt in verses 1 through 9. And then verses 10 through 14, you have the fall of Egypt, and the parable is a tree. Pharaoh's likened to a tree, and now you have the fall of the tree. And then beginning with verse 15 here, you have the lamentation over the fall of the tree or Egypt and the crisis that came to the world, the crisis that was among the nations of the world. It had the same effect in that day that it would have if, for instance, the United States was destroyed overnight. It would certainly change the situation in the world at the present moment, I'm sure. Now, let's look at this rather briefly, but it's a very important section. Ezekiel is very important to us. I trust that I've been able to make that point that this book reveals the glory of the Lord and the fact that our God is a holy God, and he's going to judge sin. Now, he's merciful. He's kind. He loves mankind. He wants to save. He's not willing that any should perish, but he also judges, and he intends to judge, and he will not spare if you reject his gracious offer, and that is what has happened now to his people, and Egypt is to be judged, and they'll be judged on the light that they had. And they've been given a great deal of light, by the way. Now, listen, verse 2. Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, whom art thou like in thy greatness? You see, God recognized the greatness of this nation over apparently a couple of millenniums. This great kingdom had dominated the world. It was the breadbasket for the world because they did not depend on rainfall. They depended on the Nile River overflowing each year, which it did. Now you have here a nation that has arisen, and the greatness of it is tremendous. Verse 3, behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches, with a shadowing shroud and of a high stature. His top was among the thick boughs. Now God says, I likened Assyria, the great nation in the north there, I likened it to a great cedar tree. Now there's more than one tree in a forest because one tree won't make a forest. And this tree, Assyria, stood way above the other trees, dominated it. But God brought Assyria down, and the message ought to get through to Pharaoh and to the people of Egypt. He is a great tree. He's dominated everything. The people of Egypt have been great, but now they're going to be brought low. And as we saw last time, It's to become a base kingdom. And very candidly, for a period now of over 2,000 years, it's been a base kingdom. Never a world empire again. Now, let me drop down to verse 10. And now we're going to see the fall of the tree. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. And that's the way you indicate these divisions here, because each one of them in this chapter begins, therefore, thus saith the Lord, or thus saith the Lord. Because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and he hath shot up his top among the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted up in his height. You see, Pharaoh, or human beings, lifted up with pride, because pride's in the human heart. And his greatness, you know, it blinded him to the danger that he was in. But now God says here, I have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the nations. Who is the mighty one of the nations now? Well, it was Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. I don't think he's speaking here of Satan, because Satan has had Egypt for years. This wasn't something new. The great one was Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And if you want to confirm that, read Daniel. And Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head of gold. The greatness of this man, it hasn't been exceeded. Now, he says, I've delivered you. That is Pharaoh of Egypt. He shall surely deal with him. I've driven him out of his wickedness, and strangers, the terrible of the nations, have cut him off. In other words, Egypt is to be taken now. Now you have the lamentation over the fall of Egypt, and here is a very remarkable section of the Word of God. And here's a place we'd like to stay for some time. But many of you that study the Word of God, here's a place where you can do a great deal of study. Now, will you notice it? Verse 15, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when he went down to Sheol, I caused a mourning. This is Pharaoh. Now, he goes down to defeat and is killed. Now, this is a remarkable passage of Scripture. Sheol that we have here actually is not the grave, although Sheol at times means the grave. And I think the context makes that clear. But Sheol actually means the unseen world, the unknown region, the abode of the dead. Not just the grave where the physical body is placed, but that's where the spirit goes. You remember Solomon had spoken of the fact that the body returns to the grave, and actually the spirit goes to God. And that is the thing that he said in Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. That is, this body that you and I have got is nothing in the world but dust. And the psalmist, you remember, says he remembers we are dust. Now, sometimes we forget it. And when dust gets stuck on itself, it's mud. We need to remember that as far as these bodies are concerned, it's dust. You put them in the ground, they'll go back to dust. And for the believer, the Lord Jesus spoke of that as sleep. And also, you remember that Paul in Thessalonians speaks of that as sleep. The dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now, where does the spirit of the lost go? To Sheol. And we find out later that same as Hades in the New Testament. And we find out in the parable the Lord gave, which is a parable, but it also is a true life story of a rich man died, and he went to Sheol, a place of torment, it's called. Not hell, not the lake of fire, but he went there. Apparently it's temporary. There's a big gulf between there and where the saved were in the Old Testament. And you have there this poor beggar, he went to Abraham's bosom. And now, this is a picture of Pharaoh going down into Sheol. This is not his body, we're not talking about that now. And notice what happens here. I covered the deep for him, and I restrained its floods, and the great waters were stayed. And I caused Lebanon to mourn for him, and all the trees of the field fainted for him. Now, when he died, the entire world mourned up there in Lebanon, which was the great nation of Phoenicia. They mourned. The world mourned when Egypt went down. All were dependent upon it. Their economy rested upon it. And its culture, and also those that were allies, would always be protected by Egypt. What a picture that you have here. Now he goes on to say, verse 16, I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall when I cast him down to Sheol with those who descend into the pit. That is, that's the grave. And all the trees of Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon. Now the tree is cut down. And where does Pharaoh go? Well, he's down in Sheol. Now what does he discover? Verse 18, to whom art thou thus like in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? Yet shalt thou be brought down with the trees of Eden into the lower parts of the earth. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with those who are slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord God. Now, when he got down to Sheol, he found out that these other rulers that had been slain, they were down there too. And he discovered something else, that there is a democracy in death. We speak a great deal today of integration. There's nothing that will integrate the rich and the poor, the black and the white, the male and female, those at the top of the social ladder and those at the bottom of it, like death. All are brought to the same level. Not only where the body is placed, but the spirit. And I think that one of the probably startling things that's going to happen to some people is that they're going to find out that they're not, as an atheist said, me and Nashville, man's just like a dog. When he dies, he's just like a dog dying. He's going to be surprised when he moves into a place and find out who all's there. It's going to be quite a company. And quite a company of those that didn't believe that there was an afterlife and that there was going to be a judgment of the lost. And they're now all on the same par. You talk about integration, that's when you're going to really have it. All on the same plane, all on the same basis, all have come to the same place. That's where the spirits go, those that have rejected today the Lord Jesus. They are not there because they're sinners. They're there because they've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are the ones that will be judged, I think, as no one else will be judged, of course. To turn your back upon him is a sin, sin because they believe not on me. How terrible it is not to trust Christ as your Savior. Say a great deal could be said about this passage of Scripture, this particular section here. It opens up a new area altogether. Someone has called this the Dante's Inferno of the Bible. It's like that. The lost do go to a place. The Lord Jesus called it a place of torment and waiting for the judgment, because I think when they're there, they're all going to say, oh, I'm going to appear before God and I'll get things straightened out there because I was a pretty good fella. Then when they stand in the presence of the one that was crucified for them, they're going to find out their puny little works didn't amount to much down here. And that they have a fallen nature, they have no capacity for God, no interest in God at all. And where else would God put them? Do you think he can take you to heaven, friends, when you're in rebellion against him? This is a passage of Scripture that we're looking at here.